there. Instead of unicorns and rainbows, we have barking dogs. But welcome to North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, and soon to be alongside Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We have sports interviews from all around the area this evening. And this evening's presentation of MSO News Sports is brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. Moore GMC of Denver, serving the North Shore since 1969. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years at 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your tax preparation needs. The Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn, combining with Lynn Arts Building, a vibrant cultural center. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance. The Porthole Restaurant, try their award-winning clam chowder. Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment values in the state, and the daily item of Lynn and itemlive.com, serving the North Shore since 1877. That would be the daily item of Lynn, serving the North Shore since 1877, since itemlive.com hadn't been around that long. All right, let's turn off the music here, if I can. There we go, and welcome, and we got a really big show tonight, as we have not everybody playing tonight, thank goodness, or practicing. So we've got a lot of interviews to get to, and we hope that you will be with us and listen in. We're going to start off with Danvers basketball coach John Walsh on the boys' side of things. We haven't talked to Coach Walsh in quite a while, and of course, last year, the spectacular season that Danvers had, and off to a good start this year. A little bit tougher, of course, but we'll have to see what Coach Walsh has to say. We'll talk with Scott Cooper, who is our sports reporter. He's a reporter for us and also, of course, works primarily for the Marblehead and Swampscott Wicked local papers. He's at the St. Mary's Haverhill girls hockey game tonight. Dale Dunbar, the Winthrop hockey coach, will join us later on. Be good to talk with Coach Dunbar again. Nick Kukuru of the Gloucester Times will bring us up to speed on what's happening on Cape Ann. And we'll round it out by talking with the Revere High School Athletic Director, Frank Shea, who will bring us up to speed as to what's going on down there as well. So a lot happening. And Tim Kearns has joined us. And Coach, what the heck was that yesterday? What was that?
Embarrassing.
Was it embarrassing or just they just decided to play to not get hurt?
Well, you almost got Brady killed.
And that's what happens. Hurt. That's usually what happens.
You know.
But handoff. Hello.
Well, you know, in that sense, you know, a lot of the punters are saying, well, if you're going to do that, you're not going to throw the ball. You know, keep him out of harm's way totally.
Yeah, yeah, the why him in there.
And put Garoppolo in.
Yeah, really.
You know, why even have Brady
what a strange
on the
game.
Field if you're going to do that? And then you come out in the second half, and you start trying to throw the ball, and you had some success, and then you sort of went away from it again.
That was strange. That was strange. And the other strange thing was the game before that when they have the ball with, I think, 2.5 minutes left, and they sat on it at the end of the first half. Never seen them do that. Really strange. I don't know what's going on. I really know what's going on. Strange.
I think, you know, their normal procedure, excuse me, in those last 2 minutes is to put the ball in Brady's hands and let him just pick and choose his spots down the field, open up the defense, and then gash him with a run if you have the time and get yourself in position at least to score a field goal, if not get the touchdown and go in, score at the end of the half.
Yeah, I don't understand. That's what they usually do. I don't get it.
I think suddenly Bill's trust in the offensive line's ability to even give Brady 2 seconds.
And what happened?
Throw.
What happened with the Andrews kid at center? What happened there? Stork. I don't understand. Wasn't he a guard at first? Wasn't he a guard last year originally?
He's
always been a center.
Yeah, he came in. He was center at Miami. And he came in, and
I don't understand.
Again, he grabbed the job early on, maintained it, and you know, Bill's always won. A guy wins a job and does a great job. You're going to have to sit and wait a chance to get back
in.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
And it seems like he didn't wait any time to put Stork back in. Then maybe he just felt he was a better run block. I don't know. I've been trying to figure that one out. And then, you know, you've moved Stork around the offensive line. I think he's just got a lot of jumbled pieces there right now that are all jumbled in their head. I mean, he had Cannon start on the left. Then you saw Cannon, you know, he nearly got Brady killed on the left side. They put him back on the right side. He nearly got Brady killed from that side,
too. And Brady looks hurt, too.
You know, you know, unfortunately, I hate to say it about him. I think a lot of people see it. He's gun shy from getting hit so many times and having to rush. He's got no time to go through the progressions and find that third, fourth, fifth guy that he's used to having that time of stepping up into the pocket. And I think teams are taking advantage of it. He knows he doesn't have his check down guys. He doesn't have Edelman. He doesn't have Amendola out there at the same time, forcing teams to move the linebackers back to make them cover those guys one-on-one, which is nearly impossible to do. And when you put those guys there, Gronk's got one-on-one on the outside or deep down the middle, and Brady has that 2 seconds. There it is. It's open. Loft it out there. Bang. They make the catch.
He overthrew everybody yesterday,
and they're too. I think it was just he suddenly said, I got to get rid of the ball.
Yeah, maybe.
And he grounded a couple at people's feet, you know, and anybody will do that. Peyton Manning, you see the best quarterbacks do it. You know, I was watching the Green Bay game last night, and I'm thinking, you're talking about teams in a parallel universe that are operating in the same kind of problem.
Yeah.
It's Green Bay and the Patriots.
And they had it right down the toilet.
You've got two of the absolute dominant quarterbacks of this time period, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and they're struggling because their offensive lines are nicked. You know, we don't have a Lacy in the backfield, but because we lost our best running back. But still, Rodgers can't get the time. He's lost his number one. He lost Jordy Nelson. And if it wasn't for the tight end, he'd have nobody to throw to like us.
But we did get to witness a miracle in the comeback of Peyton Manning, which was the greatest comeback of all time in history, according to Jim Nance and Phil Simms.
Oh, my God.
It was just amazing the way he just pulled that team up by the bootstraps and carried them on his shoulders all by himself.
You know what? If
And he was, what, five? He had five completions in the second
half?
Did
you notice most of his passes were thrown?
No.
To hollow areas. Yeah, that the receiver ran down, stopped, and came back.
Not on the move. You got
to
stop.
And yeah. It was just he threw to a zone.
Stationary.
And
he
can't throw the ball down the field.
Yeah.
And so he said, okay, I'm going to throw. You run to the 45. I'm going to throw it to the 38. Stop and come back and get it. Because once they stopped and came back, they were all alone because the defensive back was going with thinking, okay, he's going to go long. I'm going to defend that way. The guy suddenly button hooks. He comes back in, and he's got the pass and steps out of bounds. Yeah, but Peyton didn't throw anywhere near where the receiver was. He threw a shot of him, and the guy came back and got it. And he did that numerous times. He's got nothing on the ball.
I wonder where Osweiler is going to play next year. I wonder if he's on a one-year contract.
If he's a free agent, he's displayed. He played great yesterday. He's got the arm. You know, it's almost like they were waiting for an opportunity to put him back in. Those turnovers were not the kid's fault. They were not kid's fault. And yet, okay, let's bring Peyton in this instance. Now, if I'm bull.
You think? Yeah.
At the offensive line, because suddenly they opened holes and Lacy hit holes, and not Lacy, but the running backs, the two running backs for Green Bay, suddenly had holes to run through. Where were those holes?
When Oswald,
when he was playing quarterback, and these guys are running in and not getting anything, was there that much respect for Peyton Manning and his arm that he was going to throw over the top of these guys? He's lucky to throw over the top of the offensive line, let alone down the field that you got to play back.
We got 2 weeks to figure this one out, and we'll talk more about it. But coming up, we're going to have Danvers basketball coach John Walsh as we check in with some local high school stuff. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. That's Tim Kearns. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, here we go. We're back, and we have Danvers basketball coach John Walsh. And, John, it's been a while since we talked. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you, Coach, and I know that I don't think we've actually talked last year, but Tim and I were talking with many people, and obviously, you're into a new season, but just for a second, let's reflect on last year, the spectacular season that you guys had. You have to feel good about the way things happened, and just a great year.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic year. It was a grueling year, believe it or not. We knew, that we thought we were the most talented team, in the state, and we knew we kind of had a target on our back, and it was a grind, especially towards the end, but the kid persevered and got through it, and, it made for a great year.
You know, Coach, certainly when you play with an X on the back, the pressure increases game to game as the season progresses and you start heading towards the tournament and you start trying to size up potential opponents. I know Paul Ingram, the Gloucester football coach, in 2009, was thinking about retiring, and then he saw the talent that he had that went undefeated, and he wanted to coach those kids again as seniors came back, and they replicated the event. And I can't imagine what those kids and the coaching staff went through game after game, knowing what they'd accomplished the year before and trying to repeat that again. And what kind of emotions did your kids go through the course of last season?
It was having that X on your back, like you just alluded to, it's huge. And you have to self-motivate. I honestly believe that's the hardest part, especially when you're dealing with kids that are 15, 16, 17 years old. Sometimes they feel as though they're just going to show up and win. Trying to convey a message to them that that's not going to happen. And it's 27 games, and that, you're playing that when must be 27-0, but it's grueling, and not to have a slip up, throughout the whole year was pretty impressive. And it's a, it's a testament to the kids, because it's not done very often where a team goes undefeated, especially, I'm not saying it because it was us, but Division II North last year was so loaded. The best it's been in years. So to be able to accomplish that, especially going through that, where there's so many teams that could have knocked us off, I think adds a lot to it.
Now, coming into this season, certainly there's a level of expectation. Maybe not so much stuff because you knew you lost guys, but the kids coming back thinking, we got to pull together. We can do this again. Was there any kind of talk amongst the kids that you heard, or they even came and talked to you about what the level of expectations were for this season?
No, I think it's what it always is. Even last year, you just want to win 10 games to get in the tournament. Obviously, last year, I felt as though we could do a lot more. But that's really the goal, just to get into the state tournament. So the same thing this year. This year, obviously, is a much different team. We lost so much from last year. Right now, we're still trying to feel our way through. We're 4-2. We're trying to gain some leadership to this team that we need, and we need it badly. And we're very small. Our tallest guy is 6'1". So it's a much different team. We have guys that played on last year's team, but they somewhat had a backseat role. They were tremendous for us, but those three kids that have graduated were obviously the focus point of every team. And these kids now are finding out that, you know, they have to be the leaders for us, and people are going to plan for them. And I think they're trying to, you know, feel their way through that.
You know, and certainly with a smaller team, you have to basically redesign the offense. You have to be a little bit quicker. You want to rebound. You want to get the ball out. You want to push it up the floor quickly to try to get the numerical advantage.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we are small, but we're decently quick, and we're trying to use that to our advantage and, you know, make the game go a little bit faster. You know, we still want to defend the way we have in the past. Obviously, we don't, you know, we're teaching kids and you know, stuff like that. So we got a ways to go, I can tell you that. But, you know, as long as the kids buy in and some kids, you know, step up and the leadership, you know, is there, I think we can attain our goal of making a state tournament.
Talking with Danvers coach John Walsh. And coach, I think it was your first game. You guys had a lead. It looked like you were sailing away. And I think, I don't know, was it English or classical? Was that the first game there?
It was one English.
English, okay. Yeah, and they came and stole it at the end. A lesson for you kids. How'd you guys respond from that? Because you've done very well since then.
Well, I don't know. Basically, what happened was we're not very deep. We're very young, especially in our back end of the bench. And we had a kid foul out. He picked up two fouls within 30 seconds apart, and he fouled out with 4 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the game. Mm. And then from that point on, that was the game. We were up by 11 when that happened. And, you know, like I said, we're not very deep, and they took advantage of that, and, you know, and that was, you know, smart of them. And we struggled, you know, when Devin Allen fouled out.
All right, who's been carrying the load for you so far?
Excuse me?
Who's been carrying the load for you so far? Who are you looking at as your leaders?
You know, it's been, offensively, it's been three guys. Trey Crittenden and Rashad have been shooting the ball really well. And as of late, Devin Allen's really, you know, come on late. He had a great game. We lost him all in Catholic at the buzzer, but he played terrific in that game. And, you know, he's been doing really well as well. Those three kids offensively, and Mike Nestor defensively, and Kieran Moriarty. Taj Coakley, who's a sophomore, has definitely been adding a little bit, you know, defensively and rebounding and stuff like that. So, you know, those, you know, six, seven kids have kind of seen the majority of playing time and doing what they can to help us.
Who are you looking at as the power in the league?
Salem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Salem's by far and away the best team in the league. And, you know, we play them Friday night, so we'll just have to see what happens.
All right. So, what's your next game? What do you have on Tuesday?
We have Beverly tomorrow night at home.
All right. How do you see that one?
I think they're a good team. They're big. You know, they'll have a size advantage over us. They have shooters. So, you know, we just have to kind of defend the perimeter and rebound and see what happens.
You know, Coach, I worked at a baseball clinic at Beverly High School on Sunday mornings there, and the basketball team was coming in after us. And I was actually surprised that some of the height that Beverly did have. I didn't think they had that they were that big this season, but they do got a couple of kids that can probably pose some problems in the post for you.
No, they definitely do, and they're good too. Pat Gavin has really improved from last year. Garrity's a big kid.
He takes up some space.
And Trakoff shoots it well. Coughlin's playing really well already. I mean, I like their team a lot, and, you know, they have a terrific coach. So, you know, we'll definitely have our hands full, that's for sure.
All right, looks like we're going to be there tomorrow night. I think Bill New will be broadcasting the game, Coach. So look forward to hearing you guys, and look forward to talking with you a lot during the season.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Coach. Take care.
Thanks, Coach.
And good luck. That is Danvers basketball coach John Walsh, and off to a decent start at 4-2, especially after 0-1, so they're 4-1 since then. Not
yeah,
bad.
And your second loss is a 1-point loss to Malden Catholic, and certainly, you know, the whole idea, you lost an 11-point lead when one of your starters fouls out with 4 minutes to go, and again, he says, well, you know, when you got a depth problem coming in, the other team is able to jump on you and exploit that, and that's what good teams do. And classical, especially English, is usually possesses several tremendously gifted ball players, and that's where they'll do it. They attack any good coach attacks the weakest point on a team, And again, we use it to the advantage, and you try not to have your other guys follow, so you tend to play a little bit softer, you allow the inside, and you see your lead whittled down, and they suffer that loss. But, you know, at first game of the season, what a great time to have that kind of situation occur, because now it's, okay, guys, here's what we have to do. We have to play tough, in-your-face defense, but we can't be wasteful with our fouls. We have to be much more strategic. You know, we've got to be cleaner with our defense. So let's work on moving the feet, keeping the hands wide, no reaching in. And that shows benefits down the line as you get deeper into the season and heading into the playoffs.
All right, this is MSO News Sports. We will be talking with Winthrop hockey coach Dale Dunbar momentarily. So stay with us.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to RotaryDreams.org.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
All right, we're going to welcome back Winthrop hockey coach Dale Dunbar now. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you guys?
Very good, very good. It is the season, and I can't believe it. Seems like just yesterday the season started, but we're 6, 7, 8 games in already. And how are you looking at Winthrop hockey so far?
Very young. But we're, it's exciting. I mean, we graduated 14 last year, so that was a pretty big class. So we're young. We have some key players and left behind. Charlie Page is obviously one of our leaders up front. We've got some young kids, a couple of sophomores that made the team as freshmen last year, Henry Brooks and Stephen Holgerson, that are two solid players. Mike Norris is another one that's one of our captains that we're looking upon to bring big things. But then we have 5, 6 freshmen and some other upperclassmen that haven't really played a lot of minutes over the years. So we're young, but it's exciting at the same time.
Yeah, you got a couple quality wins already, and I'm looking at the Marblehead game 4-1. What was that one like, Coach?
It was 1-1 going in the third. Typical Winthrop Marblehead up and down, good skating game. They're very deep. They have three solid lines. 4 good D, goaltending. They're pretty raw at that position right now. They're used to having some pretty good goaltending. So a little inexperience there is the way you're going to get to them.
Well, he's
it was 1-1 going in the third, and then they got a shorthanded goal, a power play goal, and an empty netter to beat us. So, but I always kid Bobby Jackson. I think that's the first time they've beat us in 6 years. So.
Oh, that's
getting back at him.
Yeah, good. That's going to make him happy, I'll tell you.
They're good. They're a good team. I think that team can, if they can stay healthy, they're very deep.
Yeah, and the scary part is their goalie pitched a shutout. We did the Beverly game on Saturday, and he played pretty well. But as you say, they've got the three solid lines, and they come back and they help out the defense very, very well and get the puck out of the zone very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Their transition game, because they have such good speed.
Yeah.
Their defensemen can just continue to push pucks up ice to them. I mean, they can do some damage. I like the team. I like the way they play the game. They have a good pace to their game, and they're getting pucks to the net. So yeah, I like their team.
How's the competition been for you, Dale? Because you played some close games and. You've won the majority of them, but how have they been? How do you rate the teams you played against so far?
Pretty good. I mean, Mansfield is always a big, strong, tough team. I thought they came out and tried to really have a physical presence against us
But our captain, Noah Hodgkins, and a couple of other kids, Matt Tarantino, another one of our leaders, really big, strong, physical kids, actually really neutralized them, and then we started giving it to them, and it was a totally different game. So that was a good way to start the season. Then we went to Peabody. We played a great road game, stayed out of the box, beat them 2-0. It was a really good, solid game for us. Then we ran into Marblehead. That was a tough one. Then we played Triton, again, 1-1 going in the third. Sort of gave up a bad goal, and we just don't have that maturation yet or that confidence in the lineup that we're going to come right back and get it back. So Triton, I thought, was a good skating team. And, since then, Melrose, we came out and we got them in the Christmas tournament. And then the North Reading game was a good one for us. Really good, really good confidence one for us because we know how good they are. And I thought we really competed as a whole for the whole game and the results. We gave up a 2-0 lead in the third. And again, we have to learn how to manage that puck in the third period and not give them those chances. But the fact that we won in the shootout was a good thing.
Coach, do you see with those third period, you go into the third period and those couple of games tied, I don't know if it works at the high school level, but have you seen things that you can teach the kids so that they do get better in a situation like that and they've got the experience now, so maybe they do know what to do if it happens again?
Yeah, I definitely think it's all about, the third period isn't like you play in the first period. I mean, you have to manage the puck a little bit better. You have to really make sure you get pucks going north and south and out of your zone. You can't turn pucks over in the middle of the ice, which, we've been doing a little bit. You have to, we try to scrimmage almost every day, unless it's a day where we have a little bit more time in a week. And we'll do some other things skill-wise, but we try to scrimmage every single day and with game situations. So when they do get into a game situation, we remind them, hey, listen, we've been doing this all week. Let's chip pucks out, get in the lanes, sticks on the ice, and, just try to build confidence that way.
Coach, one of the things, especially probably with a very young team, like you say you have, and going into the third period and sometimes having the difficulty, is with the younger kids, they're not used to being in that kind of physical condition to exert three full periods where, Marblehead, that almost returns a veteran team every year. Third period, they know they've got the physical stamina to go out there and to physically dominate, where a younger team with a lot of underclassmen haven't really grown into that physicality yet. And, they're going all out 1 and 2, and then all of a sudden there's a wall to hit in that third period. And is that where you tend to see the breakdown in puck handling skills and decision making?
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. And you're right. When your legs are tired, your mind gets tired, and vice versa. And that's where breakdowns happen. And we've seen that. We try to condition through drills rather than just putting them on the line at the end of a game, end of a practice, and just saying, okay, we're going to do mountains or we're going to do this. We try not to do that as much as condition through drills and really hard drills where they're taxed at the end. But you make a great point where we've had so many kids coming basically out of youth hockey. They don't condition for that. They don't condition in youth hockey. And now the first taste of varsity hockey is tryouts, which isn't much. And now you're into it, and they have to, it's really like almost reinventing the wheel with some of these kids. They have no idea what it takes to play at the varsity level. And then all of a sudden you take some young kids, put them in a key situation, and they could be playing against a 17, 18, 19-year-old player. It's a process. And we've been fortunate to be on the right side of the process a lot of the time, but right now the learning curve is kind of steep for our younger guys, and they have to learn how to condition, they have to learn how to eat, sleep, prepare for games. It's a whole different animal for these kids, and I had a talk with our captains about helping these kids and really at the team dinners and whatnot, talk to them about what it takes and help them out. So you're absolutely right. It's a mindset, but it's also something they've never, ever had to deal with.
I'm sorry, Rick. At 3-2-2, I mean, you're in a pretty good position at this early point in the season. And I'm just looking at Beverly's record. You know, they haven't won a game yet. And there's a team that traditionally, and especially in the past few years, has been right up there in the top of the rankings.
Oh, absolutely. Beverly's always, I mean, whenever you talk hockey in the North Shore, Beverly's always right there. And, yeah, they're having a tough start. And, but you know what? You know, one of our things, again, with the maturation has been start the game on time. Let's not let the other team in it. Let's set the tempo. And we did it against Melrose, and we did it against North Reading, and then we come back against Saugus the other night, and they hadn't scored a goal in three periods there, Coach. I mean, three games, and we spot them a 2-0 lead. So, you know, again, if we come out with that same mindset against Beverly, records are out the window. I mean, we're dealing with kids, and you have to try to motivate them and teach them to win their shifts when they're out there. So I don't go into any game ever, no matter what our record is or how our team may be, and say, "Hey, listen, we're going to show up and win." We've never done that. We never will do that. So we're going to prepare for Beverly the way we would prepare for North Reading and everyone else, and hopefully we can get off to a quick start on the road. We play well on the road, to tell you the truth. We play much better on the road than we have at home.
I was just looking at that, and you got three big games coming up in a row on the road.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if our kids are a little tight at home, the young ones, you know, the whole town there, we'd be getting great fan support. But when we go on the road, it seems like they play looser, and they're making plays rather than just, you know, turning around and giving it up. So maybe being on the road is a good thing for us, and hopefully we can close the gap and get some points there and stay in the race, and hopefully at the end of the season be there when it counts.
Well, they're going to be a lot more mature after the next three games, that's for sure.
Yeah, no question. And our goaltending has been outstanding. I didn't know what to expect, because for the first time in 8 years we haven't had a Feely in the net. And to tell you the truth, they're both, I'm using both of them, they're both have given us a chance to win in the third period of every single game, which is all you can ask of your goaltenders. So, you know, we're young, but we're getting there. You know, I think they're gaining a little bit more experience and confidence with each game. So, hey, we'll just keep playing and competing and see where it takes us.
Sounds good. Final question, Coach. You mentioned your goalie. Give me one or two of your other leaders so far.
To tell you the truth, we have a young kid named Sam Yarrow. He's playing on our first line as a freshman.
Wow.
Real skilled kid. Has a great head for the game. Has a couple of goals. You know, physically, obviously, not even close. You know, he's a smaller kid. No weight on him. But, boy, is he smart. He holds onto the puck. He makes plays. He's a really, really, you know, good young player. And then, I think it's, you know, your drummers are always your upperclassmen. So we're depending on our top five unit, you know, with Paige and Holgerson and Norris and Brooks and then Hodgkins. So those are the guys that, you know, in our goaltending, and that's what we're going to have to try to throw out there more times than not. They're going to have to eat a lot of minutes and hopefully sprinkle in other minutes with some of the kids and get them some confidence.
Sounds good, Coach. Hope we can talk to you down the road and often this winter.
Yeah, love it. Always love talking to you guys. It's great that, you know, North Shore hockey on the North Shore has always been a very, very special thing. We just celebrated our 50th year of high school hockey. The first team came back, the 76 team that won the state championship just celebrated their 40th anniversary.
Wow.
So it's exciting. I love hockey on the North Shore. You know, they were bringing up the Wynn Arena stories and everything like that. And, you know, skating in Revere at 5 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
You know it. It's very special. And well, some of the younger kids don't quite get that 5 a.m. stuff anymore, do they?
No, they don't. And guess what? It's some of the best moments you can ever spend, to say the truth, because then you're running across and you're getting donuts or, you know, breakfast together. And, you know, again, it's those bonding moments and those teachable moments that are you never forget. I mean, you know, like any great player, you know, you'll forget some of the games that you played in, but you can watch it. But to have the locker room moments and the moments you can't get back, you know, that's what's special about the game.
All right, Coach, love talking with you. I learn something every time I talk with you, and even Kearns is helping out tonight. I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, tell Sean Driscoll I said hello, would you, Coach?
I will. Good luck, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, Dale.
Okay.
Dale Dunbar, Winthrop hockey coach, and I do. I mean, last year we had a chat. You weren't here for that one, and we talked a long time. And he explained to me how he...
Oh, so he had a fill in the air time.
Yeah, right. So what we did was he was just talking to me about hockey and how he teaches it. And again, how he teaches it here. The point I want to make, Tim, when you brought up that thing about stamina, is that especially with the money involved in hockey, peewee hockey and so on, parents feel it's their right for their kid to be out there, and even when they get to the varsity level. And they yell at the coach thinking they know more than the coach does. And Dale just mentioned something. Now, I've been covering high school hockey for a long time, many decades. And he just told me something, you know, that I didn't know. And how many things, how many details are there in dealing with 12 to 20 kids, ages 14 to 18? And like you said, he's got 14-year-olds that are up against 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an involved thing. It takes talent. It takes patience. It takes intelligence. It takes experience.
Yeah, it does. And I don't know if I want to go off on the tangent, but you want playing time, earn the playing time.
Yeah.
Show the coach that you need to be out there, make a difference. You know, putting money down to go and be part of a team and you're chosen. Okay, there is a natural pecking order of talent, and you have to improve your talent in order to gain the coach's trust and get more playing time. And again, stop whining at the coach. Encourage your kid to train harder, become more skilled, get better, work harder at it, and it'll all come together. You know, I just think back to the biggest challenge my dad put in front of me when I got cut from the freshman basketball team at Dom Savio, and I was the last kid cut. And he said, "Well, if you want to play, get better."
Mm-hmm.
There was no phone call to the coach, no phone call to the principal. You want to play?
No lifesavers. Just
get better. That was the challenge you put in front of me.
And
so I went to the old Linwai on Market Street. Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, I played basketball till it came out my ears. And I was playing, and this is all through the summer as well, and I was playing baseball for 3 to 4 nights and afternoons a week during the summertime. And I went back to Dom Savio my sophomore year. And not only did I make the team, I was on the starting five, and kids who were on the freshman team that I got cut from were watching me go out and play.
There's a lesson.
So there it is.
Yep.
Get better.
That's it. That's it. All right. We will come back and chat more. We still have Scott Cooper, sports writer Nick Kukuru, sports editor, and Frank Shea, the Revere High School athletic director, coming up. So we best get right to it. We'll be right back.
Sports fans, this is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
All right, we're back, and Scott Cooper joins us now from I don't know where, somewhere. Were you up country, Scott, or were you in Lynn?
I'm just heading making my way home, Rick. I was at the St. Mary's girls hockey game. They beat Haverhill 1-0. Haverhill made up of girls from Haverhill, obviously Pentucket, North Andover. Excellent game. 1-0 St. Mary's over Haverhill.
So how good is St. Mary's? I mean, they've been legendary over the years. How are they this year?
Well, the last year they started 0-7, and this year that you know this was their third win. They're 3-4-2 now. They've got a very big stretch coming up, so they're still good, but they're struggling because what's happened is a lot of other teams have kind of caught up to them.
All right, Scott, I've been I think I've done 2 or 3 Marblehead hockey games already, and man, they are very, very impressive. What have you been covering? What do you see in the hockey side of things in your coverage area?
Well, I was up in Gloucester. Was it last weekend for the Sunday night game of the Gloucester tournament? And Marblehead I think the score was a little closer than Bob Jackson would have liked, but Marblehead took that one 7-5. You know, Gloucester didn't quit, and they got some late goals. But I think, you know, Marblehead kind of dominated that one for most of the game, and they had a really nice win the other day, 3-0 over Beverly.
You know, one of the things, when I think Marblehead hockey score, having watched them over, you know, the past 7 or 8 years working with Rick and everything, is they remind me of a European team. The way that they constantly, they almost come at you in waves, and it's constant pressure, constant weaving in and out, and drop, and very effective puck passing, and they constantly have you turning your head, looking for the puck, and it just creates so many opportunities for them to put effective shots on net.
I think one of the things that they've got going for them is their upperclassmen. They've got 7, 8, 9 seniors that have all been playing regular shifts since they were freshmen. So this is their fourth year in the system, fourth year with the program. Tim Kalinowski, one of the seniors, is probably, I'm trying to think, he was the second fastest skater in the league last year in the skills competition. Braden Haley, leading scorer in the Northeastern Conference, so they have a lot of talent. The only question mark was, you know, there was some questions about how they do in goal, and the kid Cunningham wrote on Cunningham shut out Beverly. So,
yep.
You know, maybe that question mark, that's been erased. So they do look really good. They're unbeaten, and they look really good.
Yeah, that's scary for the rest of the conference. Scott, what else do you see in your coverage? What stands out, either basketball, girls, boys, hockey, whatever you've been looking at? What are some of the things that come to mind so far early in the season?
Well, I've seen the Lynn Jets a couple of times. They've got a good team. Jack Stafford, their goalie, is a junior. He's good in his head, and they won their holiday tournament last week. Swampscott's hockey looked pretty good. I mean, they're led by a bunch of young kids. They've got a couple of kids. Stevie Santanello's a sophomore. Thomas O'Keefe is a sophomore. Danny Johnson, the goalie, is a sophomore. He's already got 3 shutouts, and 2 other games he's only let in 1 goal. And his brother Mike is a junior. He's a captain. He's got, leading the team in scoring, along with Louis Oliveri and Peter Doyle, a couple of kids. They're off to a great start.
Excellent.
And I saw St. Mary's basketball, boys and girls, win their tournament. So if you're going to have a tournament, you might as well win it, right?
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, you know, so many don't. But that's cool. What do you got coming up this week, Scott?
Well, I'll be over in Lynn English tomorrow night, classical English basketball, and then I've got Swampscott Lynn hockey on Wednesday. So, and I've got a couple of Marblehead games I'm going to be, you know, hoping to get some information on, because I'm working on those.
Mm-hmm.
And also did some wrestling this week, so I've been all over the place.
All right. Tell us again best way to check out your articles.
Well, I'm on Twitter. It's BSCooper60. And there's a bunch of stuff in the item. You can send me a message at bscottcooper@gmail.com, and it's also at Wicked Local with Swampscott and Marblehead.
Oh, man, you are spread out. That's cool. Well, Scott, I hope to see you at a game or two and get you on. I could use some help from time to time.
All right. I'd love to. Gloucester, one of my favorite rinks. I was up there last week, Rick. I love that rink.
Yeah, that's we didn't get that one. I've covered, we've done, I don't know, 4 or 5 games already, but it's mostly been at Salem State and at Bork Arena. Have you been over to Bork yet?
I have. That's a very, very nice place. I still love Gloucester, though. You come in and you walk into the, walk down and you're in the stands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Great atmosphere. All right, Scott, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for helping us out. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Very good, Scott.
All right, Scott. Talk to you later.
Scott Cooper of the Daily Item and Wicked Local in Swampscott and Marblehead. And, yeah, it is. It's always fun. And the turnouts have been really good this year so far, Coach. Have you seen the Bork Arena? You been there yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's weird the way it's designed. Very strange. I haven't seen anything quite like it. It's divided into quarters. And it's very difficult when you're sitting in the stands to see either to your left or your right, whatever end you're mm-hmm. on, whichever goal you're at. It's very difficult to see down ice from where you are. You can see in front of you your quarter of the ice, but that's about it. Very difficult. It's weird. Very strange. But it's a great place for the kids to play. Tremendous venue for the kids to get out there. And it's very small. I think they put 800 max in there. I'm not even sure if you get that many. It's very small, so every time there's a game, talking with Endicott College president, Dr. Richard Wiley, said the idea is to give it a very
intimate
feeling of having a packed house every time you play. So not a bad idea.
Yeah, and Endicott just scored a big
did they ever?
Big holiday tournament win, knocking off nationally ranked Babson.
And Salem State the night before or on Saturday.
Yes, 8-3-2 and again that's quite for a team that's just in its beginning stages of intercollegiate hockey.
Amazing.
I'll tell you, they're drawing some athletes and they're getting results.
All right, we have to take yet another break. We'll come back and check in with Nick Kukru of the Times, and then we'll try to get a hold of Revere Athletic Director Frank Shea. This is MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Sports Night.
Take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring...
I broke it again. Thank you, Tim. All right, we'll do a makeup on that one. Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, is on board now. Nick, how are you?
Hey, great. How's it going?
Pretty well. I've seen a lot of hockey. What have you been covering?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of hockey, too. Basketball, mostly.
Yeah. Well, get us up to speed, Nick, we've been talking hockey for the most of the night. Let's start with basketball on Cape Ann. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, it looks like, on the boys' side, we got two teams struggling, and Gloucester appears to be one of those, you know, bubble teams that's going to be hovering right around 500 most of the year. I think the key for Gloucester will be how they do against those NEC North teams, which are coming up. They're going to have to at least pull out a couple wins in that tough stretch of games to stay in the hunt. But right now they're 4-3. They got Salem tomorrow night, which is a really tough one, and then Beverly on Friday. So it's a difficult week for them, but I'd love to see them split here, and they'll come out of the week still above 500. And Rockport and Manchester Essex are both struggling at the moment. Rockport's 1-4. Manchester Essex is 2-5. They've kind of struggled to get a bit of a rhythm going. The Cape Ann League's pretty tough this year, and they're both still, you know, both fairly inexperienced teams looking to, you know, find themselves still.
What about Gloucester hockey the other night, Nick? Because they've played very well. Even the games they've lost, they've played well. But from what I read in the paper, not so much the other night, or was this other team just superior?
Sean, Coach Lyons was saying, I talked to him actually after deadline, but he was saying, you know, they got worked in the first period. They were down 3-0, and then, you know, they played much better after that. They actually... the shots were even at the end of the game, but, their goalie played pretty well. Gloucester was playing his backup goalie again for a second straight game. So, yeah, I mean, it sounded like a bad start, and then after they cleaned it up, they just couldn't dig themselves out of that three-goal hole that they were in.
Yeah, big week for the Fishermen as well. They've got Winthrop next Saturday. Who are they playing Wednesday?
Salem. Over at Salem State, an 8:15 game.
Okay, 8:15, yeah.
Yeah, they got a few of those this year.
Mercy, all right. And then they come back on Saturday against Winthrop. We just talked with Winthrop coach Dale Dunbar, and he's got a very, very young team that seems to be getting better by the minute.
Yeah, that's usually the case with Winthrop. You kind of want to play them a little earlier than later. The second half of the season, Dunbar always has them really ready to go for the second half of it. They're always a much improved team over the stretch run, so... I guess it's good that Gloucester's playing them early on. Gloucester knows what it is. You know, high scoring team, can put up a lot of points on anybody. Winthrop was playing a more difficult schedule, so it's going to be an important game for them. They're both hovering right around that 500 box.
All right, what's another highlight or two before we let you go from around Cape Ann, Nick?
Well, we got, girls basketball teams also moving. Rockport just moved above 500 tonight at 5-4 with a nice win. And, Gloucester's trying to stay afloat. They're 1-4 as well. They got Salem tomorrow night. That's a huge one for them.
All right. What do we got for features coming up in the paper?
I want to tell you, Nick, I love the baseball story today in the midst of the coldest day of the year. You bring the spring into fashion. I loved it.
Actually got something coming up later in the week. There's a few good things going on down at the Gloucester Boxing Club. They got three guys going up to the Gold Gloves this weekend, so that'll be coming up later in the week. Pretty interesting story.
All right, we look forward to it. Nick, thanks for the time as always. We'll see you at the rink.
Definitely.
Thank you, Nick.
Dick Anik.
All right, that's Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor. And baseball?
Yeah, he wrote a story about two kids, one from Rockport heading to Northeastern, and junior pitcher from St. John's Prep is going to be heading to Wesleyan.
Well, it is that time of year when college acceptances start to roll around. And
they both have scholarships wanting to go. They had very favorable showings at various summer camps this year. And so they've got themselves on track for once they finish high school, they know where they're going to be going.
All right, we got one more call to make. Revere Athletic Director Frank Shea will be next, keeping my fingers crossed.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to RotaryDreams.org.
Okay, as expected, Frank Shea pretty busy right now. He's at a basketball game in Revere. I think it's a girls' game, and he's going to try to get back to us, but might not happen at this particular time, and that's the way it goes sometimes. But a full night, and we're back at it, Coach.
Yeah. It's, you know, the season is underway. The local teams are for most appears to be trying to find themselves in the midst of some very stiff competition. Again, the Northeast Conference and the Cape Ann League are traditionally tough teams, you know, basketball and hockey. We didn't even touch on the track programs, but we need to take a look at those in the coming weeks, because we have some very talented teams in the area. Gloucester Marblehead battling it out again.
There you go. That might be Mr. Shea right there. Let's try.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Coach. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Very good. All right, Tim Kearns, and Rick Moore is behind me.
This Frank?
Yes, it is.
Thanks for taking the time to call back, Frank. You guys had a game tonight, a girls' game?
Yeah, girls played Medford. They won.
What's their record right now?
The girls are 5-0.
Wow, that's what I thought. Okay. All right, Frank Shea, the Revere Athletic Director, has joined us now, and I appreciate his calling back. And, Frank, before we start our winter sports, I want to look back on the fall season very quickly on how rabid and enthusiastic and supportive the football fans were this year for Coach Ciccatelli and the great year that that Revere had in football.
Yeah, I can't say enough about the turnout, you know, with the new stadium and the team playing well. We really, you know, packed the house every night. We had 7 games at home. And, you know, behavior of the fans as well was very, very good. So, you know, we very positive things for next year to build on for Coach. And so it was really rewarding to see Coach, who's been sticking with it for a number of years now, you know, get a satisfying season like the one he had.
You know, I know sometimes it's so difficult to get the kids focused and even to get the kids to come out with so many distractions. But Lou never, ever, at least publicly, never, ever gets down. And he always talks so highly of the kids. And, you know, you can see he's still got the fire in the belly.
Yeah, no question about it. Very positive guy.
Frank, let's get into winter sports. First of all, how's the turnout early on for numbers in participation?
Not bad. We had to cancel girls freshman basketball, unfortunately. But it wasn't really due to lack of numbers. It was lack of numbers in one class. So we have no numbers in the junior class. So that kind of created a a hole, and now the coach decided to bring everybody up and play the freshman on the JV level. So we're hoping it's going to pay off for us down the line. We hope to have that freshman team back for next year. But our indoor track numbers are we're over 150 total.
Wow.
Both teams. So those numbers are really good. Our swimming numbers are through the roof. They have over 55 boys and girls. So the numbers are very good.
Coach, are you guys wrestling too?
No, we're not.
Okay, because it seems to be a sport that's slowly beginning to take hold up here in the Northeast. I know I taught down in Maryland back in the late 80s, early 90s, and wrestling was just huge down in that region of the country. But when I came back up here, only a few schools seemed to be into it. But now more public schools are beginning to buy into that wrestling program.
Yeah, I mean, it would be something we would look at if in fact, the time comes when we have the interest. I think the hardest part about, you know, having wrestling, at least for us, would be gym time. You know, we have a hard enough time now just seeing the indoor track teams in and out with the boys and girls basketball. So, but it would be something, if the interest was there, we would certainly look into it.
Where does the swimming team train?
They swim over at the Garfield Middle School.
At the middle school, okay. All right, so run us through, Frank, if you would, maybe some of the beginning of some of the teams. You already told us that, the girls are off to a great start. How are the other teams doing so far, you know, particularly hockey and basketball?
The boys basketball team is struggling. They're winless right now, 0-4. They had a real competitive overtime loss last game to Lynn English, so we're hoping that they can turn the corner a little bit. The boys and girls track teams are both 2-1. The hockey team is 3-2-2. And I believe swimming is 3-2 as
excellent.
Well.
Excellent. Well, that's a good start. You guys still have a user fee, Frank?
No, we have no user fee.
Now, did you have one before for a short time?
They may have, not to my knowledge, but it could have. If they did, it might have been just for 1 year, and that was it. But
all right.
So we haven't had one for a while.
Well, that's great, because that seems to be a new trend around here, is getting rid of that user fee, and I hope it continues. It's got to help out with getting kids involved in playing sports.
Yeah, no question, especially in our area where a lot of kids are working or helping at home. I think if we ever went to a user fee, I think it would be very detrimental to our turnout.
You know, certainly it helps the multi-sport athletes who may have to pick and choose to only play maybe one or two when they're a three-sport athlete, and it comes down to, you know, mom and dad, listen, we just can't afford to go a third sport. You're going to have to pick, and that's something you really don't want to have a kid having to make that decision during his high school years.
No, not at all. Not at all. When I used to coach basketball, you know, I would love having multi-sport athletes on my teams, because it's just the more competition a kid gets at the high school level, the better off they are, the more life lessons they'll learn. And to me, it's just a positive. The more they play, the better off they are, the more focused they are. And sometimes just hearing one coach's voice isn't really great, you know, a great thing for a kid. And sometimes it's good for him or her to hear from two or three different coaches. It's just my own opinion, but that's what I always like.
That's a good point. I like that, Frank. You know, it's college selection time for these kids. It's coming up. Kids are getting accepted and so on. And maybe not necessarily in terms of athletics, because we don't have a lot of kids who go into Division I in the area. But are you involved at all, kids, in the selection process with coach? Not selection process, but how the kids are getting into school, their acceptances and so on. I mean, I know you work with the coaches, and some of these kids must be making their choices right about now.
Yeah, I haven't been that involved. I know that, you know, we do have some kids that are going to the Division III level. Most of the head coaches are handling that. I will sit with a coach or with a kid if asked to do so, or if I may have a connection somewhere that I could call on their behalf. But as of right now, that hasn't been the case, that the head coaches have been able to handle it.
All right. Finally, Frank, what about athletic directors meeting? I know we've had some scuttlebutt and some talk already about this new alignment in football. Anything else being bounced around either in the MIAA or among the ADs?
There's generally two schools of thought. I mean, you know, there's some guys that are adamantly opposed to it, and there are some guys who like it. So I don't think whatever they come up with that you're going to satisfy everybody, but... it seems to be about voices, and then some leagues don't, you know, their argument is that they don't have the proper voice at the higher levels, and that other people are dictating where their schools are going, and that seems to be a point of contention. But, you know, I think whatever it is they come up with, you know, they're going to have to keep tweaking it until we get something that at least the majority of schools and ADs can agree with.
Well, I'm glad you guys are off to such a great start this year, and I know you had a really good fall. And, Frank, we hope you get down there and do a game or two, either basketball or hockey. So I want to talk to you later on in the winter, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that'll be great.
All right. Appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the way. Thanks, Frank.
Okay.
Good
luck.
Talk to you later. That's Frank Shea, who is the Revere Athletic Director. And we're out of time. That went fast.
Good night.
Bye. Okay. Next Monday, Emily Hudak will be one of our guests. She is the girls hockey coach at Marblehead, picked up her 100th win a couple of years ago, so they just keep sailing along. And Emily will be one of our guests next Monday night, among others. So we hope that you will join us. Any final thoughts there, Coach?
Oh, no, I won't be here in 2 weeks, because that's the holiday weekend. Right, 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, having a week off was good. We needed that. I think we all needed it. So we probably... I usually go skiing that weekend anyway, so...
Yes, I heard you're going to be traveling this winter.
Yeah, I went down the tubes today.
Because I got word from the little fly in the ointment today that you're going to be out...
We had plans to go to Jackson Hole, but they fell through today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So we'll keep working on it.
I was all excited for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
knowing
you
how, knowing how much you love the... I do. Hate the cold, but love the snow.
I do. Well, I dress like an Apollo astronaut, so it's fine. Well, that's Tim Kearns. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for your help, as always, Coach. Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer. Bill Newell, Mr. Everything for us. We'll be back next Monday night. Don't forget, we have Trending Now with Josh Arnold coming up on Friday. Basketball tomorrow night. We'll have it posted. The game, I believe, will be Beverly and Danvers. So check out that one. And we'll have hockey. Not sure if we're going to have a hockey game Wednesday night or Saturday night, so stay with us for that. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
This is NSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.